like right here. Just pay attention to us. The middle children.
Hello, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is
Middle Children.
Wow.
That actually, I think, was beautiful.
That was better, I think. I said, Jesse, just go full throttle and stop joshing around.
Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do sound like I have the voice of an angel when I sing.
I have never even felt religious, but the first time you sang, I said, I'll pray to something.
You know what? I'm going to save this for my embarrassing story of the day.
I'm excited.
Have been slighted out of the theater community. I could have been on goddamn Broadway by now.
Oh my God. I already can't wait for this story. Before we get to that, I need to catch up with you. I need to catch up. I need to figure out who's who, what's what, what's new even.
Who's who? Who's on first?
Who is on first? And I'm on second. And are you currently under your duvet?
Yes.
I love that. If that's not just so absolutely charming.
Well, I'm in a chair under the duvet.
Ah, so he's mobile, yeah. But he's comfy. And we love that for him.
Because it's very heavy.
Oh, weighted?
It may as well be weighted.
Sure.
Is it weighted by law standards? No.
No.
But it feels heavy.
I love that.
And it feels expensive.
Hello. You know?
And it's cold in here.
Are you cold? Oh, how lovely. I've said this once, I'll say it twice. I always want to be a woman who's cold. I'd love that to be my slogan, like in the office, like, oh, Jessie's always cold. Like, Jessie needs a shawl because like she makes blankets fashion. But I truly am always the hot hag. And that's OK.
Is that why you keep a cardigan on the back of your chair at work? So that
it's for show.
People think
it's for show. I want people talking, and I lend it to women who are cold.
No, I've also always dreamed about being somebody that's cold. I've run very warm.
Yes, we are.
See,
the
I'm
same.
Cold right now. Cut to an hour from now. I'll put on a little foundation. Next thing I know, I'm popping bead sweats out of anywhere that they can run out of.
Yeah,
you know?
They're popping.
But you know when you're. This is my thing. Mm. Have you ever been on a road trip with a cold person?
Yes.
Kill me.
Kill me.
Dead.
Kill me dead.
Because I might as well die of a heat stroke anyway.
And that's what they want.
I'm driving. I'm like, can we turn the air conditioning on, please? I'm sweating tits. And then, or they'll be the type of person, I'm like, roll down the window and like, oh, could you roll up the window? The sound sounds weird when we're on the highway.
Ugh.
It's too loud. And I'm like, okay, then can we turn on the AC? And then they'll put it on like 75 at like 1. And I'm like, no, babe, that doesn't.
It is full on discrimination against people who sweat and run hot because everyone's concerned for the cold girl. Every single person, the cold girl, for some reason, thinks she's going to die. She takes it to the next level. The cold girl is like, it's so cold. I can barely work. I'm like, bitch, I'm about to pass the fuck out. See, a hot person gets angry. A cold person truly plans their funeral.
And it's insane because the cold person, it's proven,
yeah,
that people are more productive when they're running colder. Okay?
Yes.
But no, here we are because Marsha needs her precious little heater on.
Marsha.
It's goddamn pathetic.
It's
not
right. And one time, like when I was sharing a hotel with a woman who ran cold, I woke up looking like a legit swamp monster, and I felt like I had rode 15 rivers in my sleep. Like,
I can't sleep in that shit. I was supposed to share a hotel room with my friend for another friend's wedding.
Yeah,
the other girl's like, not she's a friend-in-law, we'll say.
Okay.
And she kept texting me being like, should we share a hotel room? And I was like, no, because I know she runs cold.
Yeah, no, sorry.
And she's a doctor, and so she's like a skinny hot doctor.
Ew.
Like, she looks like she walked off the cast of Grey's Anatomy.
Ew.
And into the actual hospital.
Disgusting.
Which, God bless our healthcare
workers.
Yeah,
no, thank you so much and bless
her. But this bitch still comes in and is like, let's share the hotel room. So then I told my other friend, I'm like, listen, I have to sleep on the floor and you're in your husband's room because I know that they like it chilly.
You got it. You got it. You got to protect yourself because I am, what I realized that I developed is lip sweat. Like no one's business. I am all lip sweat. I'm all talk. and lip sweat.
Oh, I'm all lip and chin.
Ooh, chin. But truly, a cold girl, like, I want to slam them against the wall. They are so aggressive, and you can't mess with someone who's hot because I will body slam you. And yet they're like, I hit the AC. I'm just so cold. I'm like, listen to me. You find it or I will. And I will find your hidden insecurities and I'll wave them out to this room. I'll go dirty.
Because you have mine. That's my thing. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sitting here fat as a cow, okay? Sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Starving. And I can't complain about any of those things because then everybody's going to be like, of course.
I know. That's the other thing.
Looks down. Just gives me like that eye look up and down. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I can't take this coat off, okay?
That's right. But I have an extra shawl on my chair I'm happy to share with you. Bethany.
It matches the one on your chair, yeah. Bethany.
Jesus.
That you, for whatever reason, are refusing to wear. And then God forbid. The fat, hot person wins. And then the skinny person all of a sudden has on like a winter parka.
Oh my God. So dramatic.
Scarves. And then being like, I can't tape with my gloves on.
Yes. Gloves, full on shivering. And I'm like, have you had your coffee today? What are you running on, Marsha? You're freaking dying. Like, this is another 18 million problems, but don't you bring me in your grave. Don't you drag me with you.
Pathetic, truly.
Pathetic.
It makes me upset.
I feel like, though, that's one reason we even bonded, is like, you align with people who are your body temperature in the office. You align.
Yeah, you find those people out.
Yeah, alliances, you know, are formed, and you're like, am I wrong or is it hot today?
And it's like, oh, how is it that it's 42 degrees outside?
Yes.
But the second I came in, my ass is just completely, I just flooded my basement. I flooded my entire pants.
Yeah.
With sweat water.
Yeah, Marsha, I'm going to hop to that meeting. Problem is my skin's actually stuck to the chair. So once I rip it off, since I've molded to it, I'll be right there. Okay, girl?
And then Marsha's like, okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, kill her. Kill her for me.
How you doing, Jesse? We're coming at you live from quarantine.
We are. I know. This is week. Let's not do weeks, shall we?
Tomorrow will be 1 month that I've been.
Isn't that insane? Been here. Yeah, this last week has been, it didn't go great, but it's been getting better. Let me explain to you. It's been getting better. I've been, well, both of my lights have turned off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel as though I'm being punished for something.
Well, the thing is, you can.
No.
You know what I'm going to say.
I know you're going to say I can change it, but Chris, let me explain to you something. My ceiling is so tall, and I, as loud as I sound, am un petit. I'm not. I'm 5'6".
The thing is, I've been to your apartment. I just don't remember the vaulted ceilings that you're describing.
Vaulted, yeah, that's extreme. But I don't know how I'm going to get up there. And then I have to like rotate the disc off. I'm nervous. Currently, I'm nervous. And God has really put this in front of me because he turned both my living room and my bedroom light off. So times are tough.
So you're living like just by lamp.
I'm literally living by lamp, excited to go to candle soon. And I've tried to do a few workout tapes, mm-hmm. Humble brag. That was something. I did that. I think I hurt myself, obviously, but I did it.
Did you feel better after?
I felt better after. The day before, you know me, I try not to eat sugar. But the day before I said, Jesse, I feel like you need a hug from a big piece of cake. So I did order.
I've also had that cake say, knock, knock, knock. You need a little huggy?
Yeah. Sometimes on a rough day, I said, I ordered this Oreo cake.
I'm here. I am listening.
And it was layered and it was like a beautiful mousse. And I said, I'm not done yet. And then I ordered an M&M Rice Krispie treat, which is a real departure.
You gotta love a delivery minimum.
Oh my God. It pushes me to be who I want to be.
I love nothing more than a heavy, heavy delivery minimum.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I got the salad, but I also need to spend a dollar more, so I got the $14 cake.
I had to. You have to understand there's a minimum. And I always get a drink. And I haven't been to the supermarket because I'm afraid. So I have to go at some point. I'm eating not good. Is that your stomach?
What?
Is that your stomach?
I don't think so. What do you hear?
I what?
Can you hear my stomach?
I thought I heard your stomach.
You might have.
Okay. Are you hungry? My Lord.
No, I think it's, I have a very loud stomach.
That's got to come in handy.
Nothing is more imperative. Have you ever been lying in bed with a man? And then your stomach just starts like, sounds like a goddamn like chainsaw starting in the woods. And I'm like, please, God, don't wake up. Please don't wake up. Don't let him wake up. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. And then he wakes up and he's like, oh, my God, I was so drunk last night. And then he leaves.
Oh,
and I never hear
Lord.
From him again.
That took a
And then
dip.
I look down at my stomach and I'm like, come on.
Just help me out. I am the person that like, maybe guys aren't aware of it, but I've been in many beds with men where they make a stomach sound and then I
brag.
I know. And by that, I mean like two, but and their stomach makes the sound. And I'll be like, oh, my God, are you hungry? And they're like, you could hear that. I'm like, hello.
Well, I also always act surprised. I was like, oh, did you hear that? I didn't. Oops. It's one time when I was working at the restaurant,
yeah.
Which famously I'm the best server in New York City.
That is
said that before. I'll say it again. Mm. I haven't done it in a year or so.
It's like riding a bike.
But I was very good.
Yes, you were.
I'm a turn and burn, but I'm being sweet as I do it, you
yes,
know?
Yes, I do know that.
And so I'm, yeah, that is my
okay.
The thing is, I did eat a bagel, so I'm not hungry.
Wow.
I think it's just everything settling.
Okay.
Because I'm upright.
Oh, that's got
And I was laying down for so long.
Your body's just like, whoa.
Not used to it. Yeah. What is this feeling of not being horizontal?
Yeah.
So I'm filling people's coffees for brunch,
yes.
Right? Topping them off. And this guy's sitting, very nice, thick jacket he's wearing.
Ooh.
And I notice a little drop of the coffee hits his back because I'm like pouring from the back. But I'm like, he's wearing a very heavy coat.
Yeah.
It's fine. He didn't notice. So then I get like three tables down. And at this point, the coffee had seeped through the jacket and hit his skin, apparently. So he like leaps into the air and he's like, ah!
No.
And like looks at me and I was like, oh, did I get you? Oopsies. And then I kept walking. It's like, you know when you're at the nail salon?
Yes.
This has never happened to me, but it's always happened to the woman next to me. And she'd be like, wait, what did you do? I told you not to cut them. Oh, my nails are gone. And then the lady's like, it's fine. You're fine. And I'm like, that's how you have to act in those situations where you're like basically gaslighting the customer into thinking that they're fine.
It's like how you do with kids when they fall and then they look at you and you're like, not a big deal. We don't need to cry. And then the kid's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, off you go. It's a lot like that with adults. Yeah. Who people just are like, no, it's okay. We're going to fix it. I have a song that I like to sing. Everything is fixable. Everything is fixable. Everything is fixable. Fixable. And I like to sing that.
What is that from?
I made it up.
Wow.
I made it up. My friend Claire and I made it up. When I was moving, that was like my anthem because things just go wrong constantly. And you're like,
moving is the worst.
Moving is the worst. I can't even get over it. Wait, so how was your week? I mean, I'm glad to know you're not starving.
I'm not starving.
You did order cake, though? Is that?
I didn't order cake.
Oh.
I'm in Albany. I can't be ordering. There's no place to order cake.
Does your mom make cake?
Sometimes.
Okay. I'm not a woman who bakes. I'm also not that. You know, I want to be the woman who's cold. This is the woman I want to be. Let me explain to you. I want to be the woman who's cold, who bakes for other people. Do you know what I mean? She's the woman who's like, I bake these cookies, but I don't even like cookies. I just like to bake them. And you're like, hey, Brenda, that's stupid economically. That's stupid because who does that? You sick psycho. You bring it into me at work, the hot hoe, and you shove it down my gullet.
And Brenda's like, you know, I don't even have to be working because I come from so much money.
Yeah.
And my husband's so wealthy. And I would like to spend time with my kids, but little Sebastian is off at equestrian camp.
Yeah.
And Ava, she's down at space camp.
Yeah.
And then we have Thibodeau and he's going he's going to English literature camp. So I feel lonely in the big mansion all by myself.
So I said, hey, I could crank some numbers.
And my husband just can't get enough, just is always touching me, telling me how amazing I am.
And I let him because I'm a saint. And so, yes, I made these cookies for the office. For the office.
Oh, and don't you forget, Sandra, here's the gluten-free ones. Yeah, I want to be Brenda too.
So I don't bake like that. I bake literally to eat. And normally, I eat half the dough. That's where I'm at.
Well, see, that's so my dad likes to make jokes where he'll like leave the house for 5 minutes and be like, when I come back, I want to see cupcakes. And it's like a joke, but also he would like to see cupcakes when he comes back. So the other day he was like, I'll be back. I better see cupcakes. And then I like looked at my mom and was like, let's try to make cupcakes really quick before he gets back. It'll be funny. And she was like, okay. So I open the pantry and I'm like, okay, well, this pre-cake mix is expired by 2 years. So I don't think we can use that. And my mom's like, okay, yeah, no, I don't know why that's still up there. And I was like, let's just do it from scratch. And I was like, I've never made cupcakes from scratch. And she was like, I think I have before. We'll try it. So we did. And they came out absolutely divine.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing about me, Jesse.
Yeah.
That you might be surprised to know.
Uh-huh.
I am an amazing cook.
Wow.
Not a great baker, because I don't love it as much. But if I was on Chopped, I would make it to dessert. And I'm not talking Chopped amateur.
Hello.
I'm talking Chopped.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So I do think I have a natural skill for cooking. And I'm just going to say that out loud.
Chris, what a humble brag. And I'm thrilled for you. And I feel like you should cook for me more when we can.
I will, and you know how I learned? By watching Chopped. I've been watching so much Chopped this quarantine also.
Are you?
I love it.
I love that for you. I think I might have to order the Hallmark channel. That's where I'm at.
I think I have a login. I have to check.
Oh my God. I just died on the inside and the outside. I need that login code.
I don't know if we still... Lauren Brickman, a friend of mine, and I split a yearly thing for Christmas 1 year for each other.
Yeah.
We just got to split a year subscription.
Yeah.
So we could watch all the Christmas movies we want. But here's what they don't tell you.
Oh, no. Your stomach, though.
Is it still making noise?
Did you not hear it?
I'm listening.
Well, no.
I'm going to put the mic to my stomach. Did you guys hear my stomach? It sounds like a...
Oh, yeah.
Do you hear the heartbeat? That's
what... Wait, what don't they tell you?
They don't have a lot of Christmas movies on there.
That's some bullshit. What do you mean?
They only have like 12. And then... Come December, they put a bunch more.
Oh, we gotta wait?
It's a goddamn scam.
That's a scam and a half, and I'm livid. But if you do have the login, please let me know.
Yeah, I have to look it up. Also, you know my dream is to write and star in a Hallmark movie.
I know, and I want that for you. And honestly, it would be a dream of mine as well.
My first, like a gay Hallmark movie? I already have the whole plot written out.
How do you meet?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm living in New York.
Okay.
I'm living in New York. I have an uncle. He owns an inn.
Yeah.
In, let's say, Snow Falls, Colorado.
Okay.
It's a tiny little town. Stunning.
Stunning.
Looks like Boulder, Colorado, but is much smaller.
Got it.
And so he's like, Chris, I need you to come out to the inn. I have to tell you something.
No, not the inn.
And see, this is like kooky Uncle Steve.
Absolutely kooky.
And that's what my parents would call him, Kooky Uncle Steve, which just means he's gay.
Yeah.
So he lives in Snow Falls and he's gay. So we've always had a bond. So I go out there.
Yeah.
And he answers the door and he was like, I just wanted you to come here because I need to give you the inn. And then he dies.
No.
So he dies in front of me and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I don't want to own this inn.
No.
I'm a fabulous magazine writer back in New York. And then I'm like, well, I guess I'll stay for a minute. Like I have to clean it out and sell it. But then I'm like, whatever. I turn the corner and then this guy's like, hi, I'm Kyle. I was managing the inn.
Oh, okay, Kyle.
And I was like, oh my God, hi. And he's so cute.
He's so cute.
And I'm like, maybe I'll stay in Snow Falls a little bit longer. And then I'm like, so you grew up here? And he's like, no, actually, I grew up like 20 miles north of here. But then I lived in New York for like 10 years. And that's how I got my wealth. But then I came back to take care of my mother and just really fell in love with the village. So that's why I'm here. And I'm like, oh my God.
A village man.
That's so cute.
Yes.
And so there's some hijinks. We're cleaning together. Sure. There's a montage. We're listening to music, drinking hot cocoa. It is, of course, December.
Of course.
And it comes time. The inn looks amazing because we've remodeled it.
Yeah.
A big investment banker comes. He's like, I'm going to buy it for this much. And I'm like, amazing. And then he's like, then I'm going to knock it down.
No.
Put in a parking garage for the megaplex I'm going to put in next door.
You're telling me he paved paradise and put up a parking lot?
He's going to pave paradise. And I'm like, oh. And Kyle's like all upset. And so then for Christmas, I give Kyle a box.
Oh.
And he opens it.
What is it?
And it's keys to the inn.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. And I say, there's two. One to the inn and one to my heart.
I'm dead. And then you kiss for the first time?
And then we kiss sober for the first time.
Sober for the first time. Oh my God.
And then he's like, I can't take the inn from you. And I say, you're not taking it from me. You're taking it with me.
Oh my God.
So then I stay at the inn.
Yes.
And I just become a novelist.
Yes.
So he continues running the inn. I'm a novelist.
Yes.
I come, I help sometimes, like when we want to have charity events.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's a beautiful story.
That is a movie I want to watch immediately.
What would yours be?
So mine, thank you for asking. So mine, if you can believe it, this is my dream story, I truly think. I'm like a big wig in New York, obviously. I'm like fast talking. My dry cleaning just happens. I don't even know how. I have staff. Okay, so things are happening to me. Things are
an
happening.
Assistant.
I have an assistant. I think I get offered this like TV show. Okay, it's like an thank you. It's an intimate TV show, and I have a co-host. My co-host is this like outgoing, stunning, funny guy. Okay, and I'm like, oh, that's my love interest. And the audience is like, oh, that's her love interest.
Yeah.
But then I'm walking around one day behind the set, and this guy says something, and I'm like, what? He's an editor. He's been watching me, and so he's actually very in love with me. Okay.
Okay, we love an editor.
We love an editor. We love the idea of someone like watching you make mistakes and being like, they're endearing. Okay, so I'm like,
yes, we love a tech guy.
A tech guy, but he's shy is the thing, Chris. Okay, so this tech guy, I keep overlooking. And I keep being like, what is he talking about? Also, because as an editor, like, it's a one-sided relationship right now. He's in love with me, but I don't really know him.
Yeah.
And this outgoing guy has my attention, but I'm like, I'm feeling this inkling towards him. You know what I'm saying? And then one day, I get this video on my computer, which is like a compilation of all the things he loves about me that he's like kept, you know, from bloopers. And I'm like, oh my God. And he overhears my alpha co-host being like, you need to be more like this. You need to be more like that. You have to be more lovable. You have to be more blank. And then he comes in being like, you don't have to be anything but yourself. I love you for just that.
And then the co-host is like, who are you?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's Ben. And he's like, it's Frank. That's Frank, our editor. And I love him.
Oh.
I think that's my dream story.
How does it end?
It ends with the editor and I deciding that I don't even need a co-host. And it's just me on the show. And he's going to make sure that I always look great.
Oh my God.
But that I also let my like honest side through, because that's what makes me great.
Wow. What role do I play?
And you will be the fantastic, neurotic, like, stage manager.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, you'll really crush that part, I'm telling you.
In mine, you play the, you, like, own the restaurant in town.
Yes.
And that's the restaurant that I go, I'm like, can I get a martini?
Yeah.
And you're like...
You're not from around here, are you?
Exactly. And you're like, here, it's a double chocolate milkshake.
Yeah, you'll love it.
I'm like, what's the... alcohol content, and you're like, just love. And I'm like, oh, I can't stay here for long. But then I love that milkshake, and I keep coming for advice, you know.
And I love that.
And you're like, you know, Kyle, he was a big shot in New York.
Big shot.
He was hurt up there.
He was hurt.
And that's how I find out.
Oh my God, I love that. If Hallmark is listening, please reach out.
That was actually two amazing
yes.
film pitches.
I know.
I almost feel like it should be in theaters.
I think so too.
A double feature, a Quentin Tarantino-esque double feature.
I love that. You bring your loved one or you sit alone, and then in the theater we'll couple you off.
Oh, can you imagine anything sweeter?
Honestly, what a romantic time. I would die for that. Do you understand? I would die. Oh, I love that. Are you having any middle child meltdowns? You're at home is the thing. You're in the war zone, if you will.
I'm home, but my brothers don't live here anymore.
Right.
So that's not the case. I do feel I'm going a little insane just only being here.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I miss New York and my friends.
Yeah.
And I miss knowing, like, this is also the thing. I'm like, I can't, like, just go back because there's nothing. It's not like I'm going to go back and it's going to be like it is.
Right.
When I'm there, you know? So it's like, I don't know. So I keep going in and out of that sort of meltdown.
Yeah.
But I am, you know, this too shall pass.
Yes, it shall.
We're lucky. We still get to do things like this.
Yes.
You know?
We are lucky.
It could be worse. How are you feeling? How middle child are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. Yesterday was National Siblings Day, and I was the only one who acknowledged it, which makes sense for a middle child reaching, you know, olive branching to your siblings. Yeah. And they're like,
did you send a text or?
I texted my sister, and then I tagged my brother, who I know is on Instagram. But not only did he not like it or comment, he didn't text me. So I'm just like, you know what? Why do I? It just made me feel like such a middle child.
I thought about posting for a moment, but I did it.
Well, I regret it. And I lost 20 followers. So.
See, the thing is, who unfollows at that?
I know. No. It's.
I posted something political recently and I lost like 250.
Screw them.
And I said, screw them.
Yeah.
And somebody DM'd me and said, stop talking about politics and stick to trying to be funny. And I said, thank you.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So I did that and I felt like I, you know, had a middle child moment where I went, why, for who? Why are you trying to be the peacemaker when there's no peace? There's no war, you know? I just need to lay down. But I posted it and that's okay. Yeah. Should we jump into
embarrassing stories?
Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's live our best life.
You can start.
Wow, thank you. Today I decided to tell a story of when yours truly, about a year and a half ago, went to a wedding. Stag.
Hate to see it.
Hate to see it, but it does happen a lot. So I realized that this wedding was a destination. We could drive, but I didn't know that many people going. So, you know, when you really like latch on to someone, like you got those freshman year friends or like the people on your hall, just people you're like, I know no one. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
And then they're like, oh, this is my boyfriend, David.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, David.
And they're like, we're at table 7. What table are you at?
And I'm like, I'm about to be at 7. I'm about to drag a chair to 7. So I decided I was going to share this room with a couple and then this other girl who I sort of knew. I had never met the couple before. Okay. So I get up there and there's also another house with other people I know, but I wasn't invited to that house, which is fine. I don't think I could handle it. But I was very nervous for this wedding because it was also a Venezuelan wedding. So they were like, it starts at 4 p.m. It ends at 4 a.m. And I said, excuse me. What? Like your girl retires after like a solid 5 or 6. So
that's a long wedding. 6 hours is a long wedding.
Yeah. 12 hours. And I think I was taken aback. And I said, what am I going to do? I don't know. How can I loosen up? And I said, you know what I'm going to do, Chris? I'm going to bring an edible.
Oh, God. That probably wasn't the right decision.
Interesting. That's an interesting observation that you make. So I said, I'm going to bring an edible. And I'm going to have an edible because if I have an edible, then I'll be relaxed and cool. And like, I won't be stressed out about the fact that I don't want to dance and I don't know who to be with and like which direction do I
see,
look.
I immediately would be like, take that edible. The second it hit, I'd be like, oh my God, when is it 4 o'clock in the morning? I want to be home.
Yeah.
I want to be watching TV.
Well, sometimes it's for me to like lower my social anxiety, but sometimes I need a little bit of it. Anyhow, so I take this.
You're not a big drinker.
Not
either.
A big drinker.
See, that's where I, at a wedding, forget about it, okay? I'm a fish.
Yeah, you're under the
sea. I'm just sucking that shit in through my gills.
See, I feel much more loss of control when I drink.
Yeah, like I get that. I don't, but I get it.
Okay, which some would say I should feel also with edibles, but. So we have the wedding part. We're at the party. I've taken an edible. This other girl comes up to me who's at the house I wasn't invited to, and she's like, do you want an edible? And I was like, wow, I don't even feel the one I've taken. So yeah, an edible sounds like, yes.
Jesse.
I double edible, Chris. I double edible. And I'm like, I was like, everything will be fine. That's what I say to myself. So, and by the way, I've worn a Rent the Runway collection because I never have dresses and I don't like to spend money on it. My friend was like, it's a formal wedding. You really need a nice dress. And I was like, fuck it. So I rent this dress. I have to wear a strapless bra. This is important to the story. Okay.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I think I'm sitting at the table and it hits. And it hits like a rocket ship. Okay.
And that was probably just the first one hitting.
That was just the first one. And I come up with this mantra, which I still think about today. So maybe it was a high breakthrough, which is, I'm not that girl, but I could be. Which has to do with the girl who dances alone, like who just goes on the dance floor because, you know, everyone leaves you at the table and you're sitting there. And I'm like, Jesse, you don't want to dance, but you got to be that girl who just dances. Like,
I'm in the corner.
Yes. I'm singing Robin. People are like, we're not. That's not the song playing. I'm like
playing her on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Watching her kiss her. But I get on the dance floor. I start dancing. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm dancing. My strapless bra starts sliding down. I'm like, okay, you know, you pull it up. That's like half the game.
Did the dress look like? I need an image.
Thank you. It was like a light purple dress with flowers on it.
Strapless?
No, but the cut like went in.
Okay.
I don't know how you what this is called.
I get it.
Okay, so you couldn't
like a scallop cut.
Yeah, so the straps would have showed, so I had to wear a strapless. Okay, so then this one guy who I'm like sort of friends with, who came with his girlfriend but told me he was in an open relationship, was like, do you want to go for a walk? And I was like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, definitely. So I go on this walk with this guy. I don't even know what's happening, but all of a sudden, you know, and you're like, wait, what has the mood changed? What's going on? But I was like, I'm not making out with him. Like, I want to be professional friends with him after this. I can't do this. And open relationships, I can't get into that. That's not for me.
No,
that's not
for
me.
You know, I more power to you if you can do it.
Yeah, but I'm emotionally attached immediately, so I don't need that shit. I am a claw.
I'm a cat with claws in a rug, and it won't come out.
That's Winnie right now. So, and I'm very good at deflecting. No one deflects like me. Like, I could run a workshop for hot women about how to deflect and like unromanticize a moment, and like I could charge $50 a pop.
That should be your book, your memoir. How to Deflect, a Memoir.
Honestly,
by Jesse Jolla.
I'm so good at it. It's like they don't even realize. They just think I'm clueless, but I'm 100% aware of what's happening and trying to deflect. Sometimes I'm not, but because it's so second nature to me, when I deflect, it's an Oscar-winning performance. So as I'm deflecting, I'm like, let's go back to the party. As we're walking up the stairs, all of a sudden, I don't understand what a stair is. I can't wrap my head around how you travel.
I have a lot of stories involving stairs, and every time I get more nervous.
Yeah, that's true. I don't do well with stairs. But anyhow, I'm roaring, and I'm also unable to understand how a stair works. Like, I don't understand how I get up it and how it doesn't move, but I must, and like the distances can change. It was like a rock stairway. Anyhow, takes me 40 minutes, at least that's what he told me, to get back to the party. When I get back to the party, I've also decided I'm over pulling my strapless bra up, and I've become what I would call a four-boobed woman. So I've got my tits that are sort of low and hanging, and then my strapless bra, which has a lovely shape, but is by my belly button.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I become what looks like, I don't know, a cartoon character, literally the four-titted woman. I am the four-titted woman, high as a kite, don't understand what stairs is, laughing. There's this part in the wedding where they bring out costumes, and I was like, what is happening? So I have like a chicken hat on. Luckily, I didn't have friends there that were taking pictures of me. God bless, because I was the four-titted woman high as a kite. Now, the girl who I was sharing the bed with, who has a boyfriend, was like, we'll go back together. I was like, amazing. So I kept checking in with her because the bus comes on the hour. I made it to 2 a.m. or something. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah, wow.
So I was like, all right, are you ready to go? And then she was talking to this guy, but I was like, she has a boyfriend. I thought we said we were buddies. So I was like, are you ready to go? And then she pulled me aside and she was like, don't ruin this moment for me. And I was like, okay, got it. Like, I'll just skit scat alone. So I go on this bus. I'm the only person on the bus now. It's me, the driver, a school bus. Okay. Four tits to the wind. Okay. Four tits to the wind. I'm like, I can barely stay awake. We run out of gas.
No.
Yeah. I fell asleep. I wake up. We're on the side of the road. He's like, ma'am,
Sorry,
we just have to wait for gas. I'm like, where am I? Who am I? Is my strapless bra even still on? I can't even find it.
Where were you?
The side of the road in like...
What state was this?
This is a great question. I feel like Massachusetts.
Okay.
But once again, I don't know where... I have no concept of where I am or what's happening. I fall back asleep. He tells me that like he fell back asleep. I'm like, okay, we finally get there. Great. The couple I'm sharing the room with is like, we're having sex. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm sitting in the hallway, me and my four tits, like legs crossed. I think I went to the vending machine and started eating, obviously, because I was like, this is a sad moment. I feel like I'm in college again. And it's amazing.
This is like the episode of The Office where Michael goes to Jim and Pam's wedding.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was like.
Did you ever find out what the story with the girl was?
Yeah, I think that she like was playing with fire, but then last minute was like, I can't. And obviously wasn't happy in her relationship. But I think she was drunk and did snap at me. And I was very upset and hurt by that.
That happened with a friend of mine once. And I felt like she was playing with fire as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to go. And she was like, no. And then I kept seeing like the fire getting closer and closer. And so I grabbed her by her ponytail.
Hell yeah.
And yanked her.
Good for
and
you.
And I said, we're going.
Although, God, I hate being that babysitter because, you know, I've done that. And you know how the guy hates you so much?
Oh, the guy who was so hot also was like, she can make her own decisions. And I was like, that's where you're wrong.
That, exactly.
And then I pulled her. Wow, Jesse, that is a...
embarrassing story.
That's a wedding. Well, since you told an edible story, I guess I'll tell an edible story.
Yeah.
So this was probably like 5 years ago, a friend of mine who would bake edibles.
Ooh, what a friend to
and
have.
Or I don't know if he baked them. He like would get them from someone and sell them.
Okay.
But he was very generous.
Mm.
And so he would have parties a lot and just have them on trays.
Wow. Okay?
And so these are cookies with skull and crossbones stamped into them.
Oh my God, you can only have like one.
So he was like, you can only like start with half. And this was before I was like an avid who I am today.
Yeah.
And so I take half. I'm like, I'm not feeling anything. I immediately take the other half.
Yeah.
And then my friend was like, I'm not feeling it. Are you feeling it? I was like, no. So we eat another one.
Oh my God.
Each. So now we've had two whole ones. So we're like sitting, blah, blah, blah. We're on his balcony in Williamsburg. And that's when I'm like, oh my God, I'm the highest person that's ever existed in the planet. I'm looking off the balcony and I'm like, Los Angeles is so beautiful. I keep talking about how beautiful Los Angeles is. And then my friend is like,
which
this
is
such not Los
a
Angeles.
High statement. Yeah.
My friend was like, we're not in Los Angeles. This is new. What are you talking about? We're at Zeke's house. And I was like, I know. I'm just talking about how beautiful Los Angeles is. I had never been to Los Angeles at this time. And so then my friend, God knows what happens to her. But I'm talking to this girl. And talking, she's talking a lot.
Yeah.
And so she's talking about something. And I turn to my friend next to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this bitch talking about? But then I look and there's nobody else on the balcony.
No.
Except for me and the girl that's talking. And so then the girl is like, what? And I was like, what? And she was like, you don't have to be so rude. And it was like, I don't even know where I am right now. And so then I like go into the apartment. I'm like, listen, I have to go home.
Yeah.
I'm so messed up. I have to leave. Mind you, I had left my apartment at, I think it was like 7:44.
Okay.
So I'm like, it must be like 2 a.m. I need to get home. I get an Uber. I remember laying in my bed looking at my phone and it was 10:07 p.m.
Oh my God.
So I was there for maybe an hour. But then the next morning, my friend calls me and was like, oh my God, like it got so dark last night after you left. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, Teresa ended up in the hospital.
What?
And I was like, who? And they're like, remember Teresa? And I'm like, I don't know who that is. And they're like, the girl, you were talking to her for like 20 minutes on the balcony. And I was like, oh, what happened to her? And they were like, she drank so much, she passed out, and it was like alcohol poisoning. She tried to leave. She passed out outside. They had to call an ambulance. And it was this whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, did she drink to excess? Because I said,
who's this bitch talking to?
And I was like, I have to make a public apology to her.
Yeah.
But then my friend was like, no, this is like the ninth time she's done it, apparently.
Oh, Teresa.
And so it wasn't my fault.
No.
But I did feel bad, and I have never seen her again.
Wow. That's traumatic.
So, yeah. For her, especially.
For her, especially. And we've all been there, Teresa. I'll say that. I am obsessed with that story. What is it about edibles that we can't be patient for even a second?
Well, I've learned my lesson.
Okay.
Since then.
I try. I put a timer on it.
Or I know, because I won't do them in like public places anymore.
That's probably a good idea. I think my favorite is to stay home with an edible. But
yeah, because I realize I just can't. It doesn't bring me joy. And I'm like, if I'm trying to like talk to people,
yeah,
I need the opposite of that. Or with a pen, I'll be like, okay, it's the wedding. We have 20 minutes of this wedding left. Now it's time to rip.
Hold on tight, yeah. Bitches. Obsessed with that. What great stories. Let's do the middle child of the week.
This one is very near and dear to my heart.
Aww.
And you know why.
I know exactly why.
I'm fat Carrie Bradshaw.
That's right.
But skinny Carrie Bradshaw had to walk so fat Carrie Bradshaw could run.
Yes.
And that character is played by a middle child.
Yes, it is.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Such an icon. SJP, if you will.
Underrated. Yeah, she played Carrie, but she also played the annoying cheater in First Wives Club.
Sure. She also played one of my favorite sexy witches in Hocus Pocus.
Oh, the absolute icon.
Iconic.
We've talked about this in Hocus Pocus. I guess we both couldn't be in it because we'd both be playing Kathy Newton.
I'd be happy to be Bet. Thank you for that.
I would play the Kathy Najimy to your bed.
I mean, you definitely, I think that is, I could never take that part from you, but I would transition. I would swing over to bed.
I smell children.
Yes. Oh, book. That's our Halloween costume. Done. Love that. But yeah, she's also in, what was it? Something with Nicolas Cage where they go to Vegas.
I don't know.
Oh, she's great in that.
She's good in Divorce now.
Yep, great in Divorced. Failure to Launch, I didn't hate her, with Matthew McConaughey.
No. When I was working in the West Village, so I've never met her.
No, okay.
But I've gotten close a couple of times.
Hello.
And so I feel like, and I hear good things about her.
Yes, I do too.
Because friend of the show, Darren Karp,
yes,
who's Andy's assistant, Andy's best friends with Sarah Jessica Parker. Right. Darren always says she's so sweet. Like, if you were to meet her, she would be so nice to you, blah, yeah, blah, blah. So once I was working at a restaurant in the West Village, I had taken an edible after my shift.
Okay, I love that.
I'm walking with my friend. It's like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
We're walking, and the West Village, for those of you not in New York, beautiful, picturesque. It's like the set of Sex and the City. It's where Carrie's supposed to live in, yes, Sex and the City. And so we're walking, and I see a guy in a white tuxedo, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Matthew Broderick.
Wow.
And so I like turned to my friend. I'm like, that's Matthew Broderick, yeah, coming towards us. And she was like, Chris, look next to him. And it was Sarah Jessica Parker in a ball gown.
Oh my, okay, God.
And so I'm staring, obviously.
Obviously.
We make eye contact. She trips on the curb.
No.
I'm not even lying to you. She trips on the curb and like trips a little. He like has her arm, and then she like flails back up. So like her hair flails back up. It was the most quintessential like Carrie meet cute moment.
Oh my God.
And so this is happening. I'm like, and we make eye contact again when she's back up.
Wow.
But what I read from the eye contact was like, please, God, don't say anything to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm tired. It was actually after the first debate between Hillary and Trump.
Oh.
So they must have been coming from like a debate or function or something.
Fundraiser.
And so she does that. And then they walk past us. And then my friend and I just turned around and held hands and watched them walk until we couldn't see them anymore. But she famously lives in the West Village. And then I was at the GLAAD Awards and she did walk past my table and her dress brushed on me.
Oh my God.
But no conversation.
How iconic. Well, Sarah Jessica Parker, to me, as any aspiring comedian, actress, was the OG Annie for me, if you will. And I know I'm not the only one who's got a red-headed curly wig in a closet, and I'm ready to sing with my red dress at any
guilty
point.
As charged.
Guilty. Guilty as charged. Looking for my Daddy Warbucks. But she was the OG Annie, and I remember even watching like a documentary on Broadway, like children, all the Annies, and she was in it. And I was like, Sarah Jessica Parker was Annie and now she's famous. And I was Annie and I will be famous. The math.
Amen.
The math adds up. And I just remember being like, she is everything to me. I forget what movie she's in where it's about dancing. Like, oh, girls just want to have fun with Helen Hunt.
Love Helen Hunt.
Love Helen Hunt as the best friend. It's very Hairspray and very, it's very Hairspray. She's so pretty in it because she's like a teenager. And so her beauty doesn't make sense to me. And she has curly hair, which is also iconic because us curly hair girls never get that representation.
Jesse, have you seen First Wives Club?
Yes. It's been a while though.
It's on Netflix.
I'll watch it.
It's iconic.
It is iconic.
You need to watch it as an adult woman.
You're right. I'll watch it.
Because she also plays who I think I would play in First Wives Club.
Love that.
And there's also a great Bette Midler part in that.
See, I really think I could have Bette Midler's career. That's what I think.
What a dream.
I know. What a dream. I would die. To play a witch, I'd die.
To play whatever you want?
Yeah. Bette Midler
calls for roles. She doesn't get called for them,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Do you know that movie that she was in with Danny DeVito where she gets kidnapped and Danny DeVito's like, take her. It's the funniest.
What?
Oh my God.
No, what is that? Because I love Danny DeVito.
Well, you have to understand, this is one of the best movies ever and it had me howling and it's like on the caliber of like the movie I want to write. It's written by the guy who wrote 16 Candles, I believe, and
John Hughes?
Yes, I believe.
Is that his name?
I think, or, oh God, I don't want to.
Something Hughes.
Something Hughes. And what's it called? Rotten Scandals or something?
I'm going to find it.
Let me explain to you. It's the funniest movie in the world. So Bette Midler plays this like amazing, like rich woman with Danny DeVito. And she like nags Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito's like, I want to kill her. Then she gets kidnapped. And the people are like, we'll get the ransom's $1 million. And Danny DeVito gets this like evil smile and he's like, no, keep her. And they're like, but we'll kill her. And he's like, do it. And so it's about like, of course, the kidnappers are like the nicest people ever. And she does what we would do, which is she's like, fuck this. I'm going to get ripped. So homegirl gets ripped. And it's
immediately
like
immediately develop Stockholm syndrome.
Truly. No, because they're a couple.
With
the kidnappers is a couple.
Oh, okay.
But she gets her like identity back. It's such a good movie. And when I tell you that's the role I was born to play.
Sometimes you have to get taken.
Yes.
To get your identity back.
To be found. Sometimes you gotta get taken to be found. Ain't it the truth? It's such a good movie, Chris. Okay, I'm going to watch First Wives Club again. And you're going to watch this movie. It's so good.
I mean, Danny DeVito famously is my favorite actor.
Same. Matilda. He's the dad in Matilda. And he'll always
he's
be
the
there.
Dad. He's the director. He's the
I know, the narrator. Oh, he's the backbone.
Which, Matilda, I have a lot. I love Matilda.
Me too. Okay?
But there's a lot of plot holes in that movie.
Interesting. I consider
but we'll save those for another
day. Let's save
day.
That for another day.
We have an exciting announcement.
Truly, if you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this episode's almost over. Fear not.
Because we started a Patreon.
Hell yeah, bitch.
And if you're not familiar with a Patreon, it's like an iTunes situation.
Totally.
You can go on, you choose to pay either $5, $10, or $20 a month. Mm-hmm. Each tier has a different reward system.
Yes.
I guess you'll say.
Yes, we will.
But the even the most basic, you get two bonus episodes
yes.
of Middle Children. And so if you're listening and you're like, I want another new episode, go to the Patreon right now. Subscribe to it.
Get it,
and
girl.
You'll get a bonus episode.
You get it, girl.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's a paywall. So it's a little more unfiltered, some would say.
Some would say we're taking, you know, the bras off.
We're taking bras off, socks off. Exactly. Okay? We are relaxed, yes. honey.
We got titties and toes, baby. Titties and toes.
So get on that. It'll be very exciting. We're excited. There's going to be a bunch of other shit along with it.
Yes. I thought you were going to tell them also about our new segment we're doing.
Okay. Jesse, are you ready for our new segment?
Yes.
So our new segment, you guys have been so amazing about writing reviews. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we want to pay that forward.
Yes, we do.
And so we're going to pick a review each week.
Yep.
And we are going to discuss who we think is behind the review.
Yes.
The type of person. Mm-hmm. The icon. Okay?
Yes.
So we're going to start with Erin.
Yes.
Her name's Erin with an E.
Erin with an E.
Underscore M12.
Ooh.
Okay? She gave us 5 stars. She said, super relatable and amazing.
Ugh.
And she said, Chris, I too am a middle child that is staying with my parents during these quarantine times. Mm. My sisters are quarantining with their husband and fiancé. They're really missing out. The best time to be single is during the quarantine, they say. My mom's cooking eggs for me right now as I work from my home in my childhood bedroom.
Yes.
What a life. Jesse, you're hysterical.
Wow.
This podcast is what every middle child needed. Please put out more content. XOXO. XOXO.
Oh my God, Erin, I'm obsessed with you. And now, everyone, we'd like to introduce to you who Erin is. Erin is a middle child. We know that. And we also know that Erin's the type of woman that drinks sparkling water. Okay? She doesn't do flat.
She drinks sparkling from home. She's working at home. Mm-hmm. She stocks up on sparkling water.
That's right. She's the type of woman that buys a soda stream because she's like, let me explain to you, mom and dad, you're going to save money.
She doesn't want to reuse the plastic.
No. She cares about the environment. She thinks about others before herself.
She bought the soda stream and said, when I go back home,
yep,
because I'm staying here for quarantine, you keep the soda stream.
Oh, you know she's saying that. Erin's the type of girl that doesn't just show up to a hangout or a party. She comes with a game night and an idea.
And bottles of wine.
And bottles of wine.
That she knows the host loves. Then she says, oh, I know you don't drink, Luann. So here, I got you this amazing mocktail.
I'm dead. The idea that Luann thought she wasn't going to get a mocktail from Erin, clearly they don't know Erin. Okay.
She has a 6-pack of mocktails with her at all times.
All times. She keeps that in the back of the car. But she's got a car that is tricked out, tricked out. And by tricked out, I mean, you know what there is in there? There's always a birthday present in the back, a safety birthday present.
There's always an afghan because you know what, Erin? Is not a cold girl.
No.
She's a warm girl,
yes.
But she feels sorry for her cold girlfriend, yes. So she keeps afghans in the car.
In the car, as well as a fan that she uses on herself, and bless her for that. She looks like a 1920s flapper with that fan.
It's so people mistake her for a 1920s flapper all
yep.
the time.
Yep.
She's a business lady with heart.
Ooh, boy, is she. She could be sitting on a beanbag chair with a vest on, with a butterfly trim wallpaper, and she is closing deals. 6 figs.
She is left and right from her childhood bedroom, and she's saying, this is for society.
Yes.
Okay, she's a donator.
She
donates her time and her money.
Oh, my God. And although her sisters have relations, she wants them to be happy, and she says she'll help with the wedding even though she doesn't care.
She babysits. She says, I would love to babysit.
Yes.
I'm working from home. I'm closing deals, but drop off little Tommy. I know you need some time.
I know you need some time. You bring him to
and
me.
And somehow she makes it work. Okay?
Yes.
Erin is the type of friend that you need.
Yes.
And the type of friend that you probably don't deserve.
And the type of fan that we can't believe we have.
And Erin It's funny you call yourself Aaron M12 because my heart expanded 12 times when I saw that review.
Oh.
We love you, bitch.
We love you, bitch.
To Aaron. This episode is dedicated to Aaron.
This one is for Aaron, you guys. And you let her have it. What a great episode we've had today. Guys, don't forget to send this to any middle child you know. Because if we're not making a middle child gang out of this, I'm livid.
And you don't have to technically be a middle child to be in the middle child
gang. Of course not. But you need to be an ally.
You can be an older, you can be a younger. We've all experienced rejection. Absolutely. The middle children probably more. But still, we appreciate your contribution.
Yes.
We are friends of everyone. Okay.
Yes.
So rate. We need you to rate.
That's right.
We need you to review. You could be Aaron.
You could be Aaron.
Next week. You need a pump up. You write us a beautiful review. We'll pump the shit out of you.
You won't even know what hit you.
And we need you to subscribe.
We do need you to do that.
We're charting. Okay. We were charting on iTunes.
Yes, we were.
Week.
You guys, we are charting. So like you guys are making this so amazing. And if you're like, I literally need more than one a week, we started the Patreon. We'd love for you to come over, get some more content. But regardless, we're thrilled that you're a part of this.
The Patreon episodes will be so fun. Mm-hmm. We'll be dedicating those to reviewers as well.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, you never know when you need to hear that about yourself. Because Aaron, we love you.
We love you, Aaron.
And I would love if I heard people talking about me like that. When I hear people talking about me, it's almost always negative.
Absolutely. And they're like, oh, Chris, we didn't know you were right there.
And I'm like, yep, thanks.
I'm like, yep, someone switched the AC again. So I'm sweating my balls off.
I had to go take off another layer of skin.
This is also for all the sweaty hoes out there. Okay, we love you. We see you.
And we promise you, if we ever do a live show, it'll be the coldest live show you've ever
been in. That's right. That theater will be freezing. And we'll love every second of it.
55 degrees, okay?
I want to see my breath out there, Mike.
I need sweaters.
I want sweaters. I want to be in a cute little furry onesie and I want to not feel hot. Let me have that.
All right, guys. We love you.
We love you.
We'll be back next week or right now on the Patreon. So check it out and... live your life like you're an older.
Yeah.
Mwah.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rude.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.